Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
The folks at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We also would like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take you less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first people who does it, we'll even give you something for doing it. We want you to complete a short survey for us because we need the information you give us to help make things better every day. Just go to podcastone.study and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 250 people that go and complete the survey will get a $25 gift card to restaurant.com. And there's a chance to win an additional $250 Visa gift card. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, and filling out this survey will really help us out. So please go to podcastone.study. And thank you.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. And welcome to Ace on the House. There's Pops Corolla calls it Ace on the Roof. I'm Adam Corolla. That's Ray Oldhoffer over there.
Get it on.
Yeah, man. Thinking about shower pans. Shower pans, I never, you know, I have this, Ray's the guy to ask for this, because this is not my territory, and I've never really fully kind of understood it, but it's like, first thing, when you're doing a shower, they're like, well, you need a vapor barrier. So you go, okay, we'll get a vapor barrier, get some Visqueen or something like that, some plastic, some whatever mill plastic, put it up on the studs, and you go, okay.
You can even use felt paper.
Felt paper, yeah. Right. But then the thing about, like, the Visqueen, I don't know, then you staple it on, but I feel like we're piercing it. And I know it's tight around it, but, I mean, first things first, it feels weird to put the barrier up and then put a bunch of holes in the barrier. Then you go, you put your cement board over it or whatever. Now they have actually drywall product that type where you don't need to. But anyway, you put the thing over it, you put the cement board over it, and then you tape up the seams and you do the seams with like thin set, right?
Yeah.
And the nail holes. It feels to me like the waterproofing should be fully on the outside of the cement board, not on the inside of the cement board. And then when you start talking about doing a pan, if you want to go with the membrane style, they'll go, well, first you take your mortar, you put it in, you make a bed, you make a slope, then you put your membrane on top of that, then you put the mortar, another set of mortar on top, yes, of the membrane. And it's like, why is it in the middle? Why not at the top?
Because
or all the way at the bottom?
None of it's waterproof, so the waterproof section that it's eventually going to wick down to, so nothing's really waterproof except for the membrane. So what happens is then you put weep holes around. There's existing weep holes on the drain.
Right.
So what happens is it eventually penetrates the tile and the mortar. And the mortar has to be super, super dry, super, super strong, because or else if it's too wet or if it's a bad mix, it'll crack. Don't mm-hmm. want any cracking. Mm-hmm. So it hits that membrane, and then it wicks to the weep holes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what happens.
All right. That's good.
So that's how it works.
It seems
but then the walls, Ace, the walls don't really matter because the walls are never submerged.
Right.
But what happens is it hits the wall or whatever the heat is in there or however moisture gets in there. So what it does is it hits the vapor barrier, then it cascades down into, again, the pan, and then the pan out the weep holes.
Ah, so everything goes to the pan into the
weep holes. Right. Make
and
a fucking wet room. Do the whole thing wet.
What about I know Red Guard's no good, but there's stuff you paint on, right?
Yeah, there's Mel. There's another one called Mel something that's black, which is a 3 app. It's one app you mix with water, that's your base, and then you roll on two more, you know, coats, and that shit's impenetrable.
Is there cloth involved with that?
No clothy.
Maybe they'll say like in the corners
there,
or something.
There is cloth involved with that when you're using it as far as a retaining wall, because
like
then you
dam.
Put this this membrane so onto that, it so it wicks down
now,
again.
Does that go on the top after after you floated it?
The cloth?
No, not the cloth. The stuff you're talking about.
What goes on the top? Then you put Hardy Backer on the top of that or whatever.
Hold on. Right. We're talking about a pan, right?
Oh, the pan. Okay.
Well,
yeah, but you can
about?
Do walls, too, with the Melbourne stuff.
I know, but we're talking about a pan.
Right.
You paint it on top of your float?
Yeah. You can
and then
paint
you
it.
Put the tile on top of that?
No, then you float that again.
Oh, okay. So you don't...
That's
you
your
don't,
middle.
You
that's your
on,
pan now.
Yeah, you paint on top of the first float.
Right.
Not the second float. All right. Interesting.
It's a pain, you know, and then because your first slope... Where it catches is more so steep than the second one, which is your floor. You want your floor more or less to be flat.
Oh.
It still drains.
Oh, I didn't know all this stuff. So the hot moppers come in.
And the hot moppers are super talented, and they'll usually do the first float for you.
They'll put the pitch on.
Yes.
Then bring the hot mop in.
Yes, and set your drain.
And paint onto that, and then you'll do
the last float.
The last float.
And the last float with the weep holes, you want to take like some pea gravel, because there's like four or five areas where the weep holes are.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to take some pea gravel, and surround it with like a handful of pea gravel so you don't clog the weep holes. Because you can clog the weep holes.
No, I get it. I've seen it. But it's just weird to me that, you know, in 2017, guys coming up with a bucket of tar and a mop and then a handful of gravel.
But if you see these guys, there's some guys who are just amazing. They do these things called Christmas corners where they fold the paper for the corner. And then all of a sudden, they just plunge it in the corner, and then it's like origami. It unfolds, and you go, whoa, you just hit the curb, the corner, this and that, all in one shot. And the guy can't speak, but he can make a Christmas corner like nobody's business.
I'm trying to think of a gig with the worst communication skills. Hot mop's got to be up there.
Yeah, it's up
there.
The
hot mopper. All right, let's see.
Hey, you going to do a sunken, or you're sitting flat?
Just sitting flat.
You're going to make it flat, or are you going to do a curb? Don't do a curb, bro.
I'm not doing a curb,
good,
bro. And don't
good,
give me the
good.
Bro. When did you start saying bro? Who says bro?
No one. You occasionally.
No, I never say bro.
You do it as a joke. Hey, bro. You do.
Well, if I do it as a joke, then it's... Okay.
I was doing it as a joke also.
Okay, bro. Right, do you know how many invalid points you make an hour?
I don't know. I just made a great one with the hot mop. I explained it to you.
That
how
was
it all
good.
Works. All right.
That wasn't a point.
But you
want to
do an ad?
That was answering a question. Thank you, bro. You say it, bro. Right, that shouldn't be your de facto setting. All losers have that de facto setting.
All right.
No,
I'm sorry.
Do you
bro.
Understand? That's your de facto. Talk to my dad about saying that. You're late. You're late. You're this. You're that. That's been your de facto setting
hold
your entire life.
Never,
it's not a good.
Hold on a second.
I never
mentioned that you're late. I don't mind it at all.
No, your de facto setting for anyone who says anything is you do it.
Okay.
Do you understand how unsuccessful an approach to life that is?
Obviously, look at me.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Talk to my dad about the de facto setting of coming right back with you're this way.
Okay. What do we? What are
to
we
the
doing?
Point where I say, bro. Right, you realize if you'll say that about that, you'll say it about anything, right?
I don't know. I lost my train of thought now.
Your
where
de facto
we,
setting.
I understand what you're saying.
Your entire life is you do the same thing.
Okay.
To the point where you say Adam Carolla says bro. Although Adam Carolla's never said bro.
Okay.
And you've never heard me say bro.
I need you guys to pull up
why
every
would
time
you say,
Adam says bro.
Think about that,
okay.
Bro. Why would you say that?
I got it.
No, but
deflection.
Think about it.
No, it's
yeah,
a defense
but it's,
mechanism.
It doesn't even exist.
It doesn't, and it's a bad thing.
Good.
It's not good.
Talk to my dad about it,
okay.
Would you? And stop paying that guy. He's doing a whore. Okay. Where was I? Denny's. Ah, always been a place where America can come for their favorite breakfast, lunch, and dinner dishes. Whatever you want, whenever you crave it. Denny's, on demand. Same always open philosophy, now online. Quick and easy way to place your mobile or online order for takeout or delivery of your favorite menu items. Do it all day. Do it every day. 24/7, right? Yeah. You got diner favorites at your fingertips. Visit Denny's.com and click to order the online or download the Denny's app. I think you do that. Just download the Denny's app. It'll be in your phone. You'll have it if you need it. Order from the everyday menu or the new fresh picked flavors for a limited time. They got menus. They got items on that menu like chopped kale and grilled chicken salad. Yeah, they're going all healthy on you at Denny's. So, again, get that Denny's app. Go to Denny's.com. See what they got. Hook it up. All right, Ray, what are you working on?
Well, I actually just finished a palate swing.
Ooh, a palate swing.
Yeah, I made it. But palate swing on steroids, man.
Where?
My friend Stephanie's house.
Like a freestanding unit.
Oh, hey, you guys have a picture you want to show them?
Wow, Ray built a giant palate swing.
Yep.
It's nice. So
double pallet, put a back on it, gave it a 22.
It's got a 40, got 4x4s going down with a through bolt.
Yeah.
Looks like going through the top of it. You got a 4x6 going across.
Yeah, because it's like rated for four people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another picture.
We're looking at pictures of Ray on the big pallet swing. It's got the it's got the chain on it. Is it? Let me ask you.
That's got the chain and Mexicans on it right there.
That's that right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those are my guys.
The
buried the ends all in pier blocks, like buried the pier block in the ground.
Yeah, buried the pier block.
Yeah, buried mm-hmm. it, but you know, so the elevation changes up.
mm-hmm.
So you got one sitting about an inch above, and then the other one on the flip side of it is about 4 inches above.
Mm-hmm.
So everything level, everything super cool. It turned out great.
Right.
Yeah.
The pier blocks you can buy are about 9-10 inches tall. They're, I don't know, 8-9 inches wide at the bottom. They come up a little bit like a pyramid, but not steep. They flatten out at the top. They have the ones with the wood block at the top, I think, or they used to, like a treated piece of wood.
Yeah, it's usually redwood.
They have the ones with the, is it?
Yeah.
I feel like it's pressure treated out here.
Nah, redwood.
All right.
Because it doesn't rot. You can put redwood on concrete.
Yeah, but I'm saying pressure treated.
Yeah, they don't do pressure treated. They're
yeah,
usually
but
redwood.
Pressure treated doesn't rot.
True.
Okay. Think about these points, right?
I know, but I'm saying usually when you buy the pears, they're redwood.
I'll buy the redwood part, okay. But if you go because it doesn't rot, that's
same
not
thing with pressure treated, but usually they sell them. I understand what you're saying. Let's talk about my swing I made.
All right.
It's kind of nice. Cool.
All right, now we got to check the pier blocks and see if they're redwood or pressure treated on top.
And, hey, by the way, Gary, don't look for the pressure treated one. Look for the one that's redwood immediately.
I know they have them. I'm just saying I normally seem like I've seen the pressure treated. Anyway, I thought pressure treated was cheaper or easier or something. That's why. I thought they're going for cheapness.
I'm with you, but, you know, I guess I don't know why. Every time I've seen it, and I've seen it for 30 years that way.
Okay.
But then they also have the ones that have the extension. You know, so you can put...
They got the two ears coming up, the metal ears. You can put like a 4x4 or 4x something.
Something
in there. And you buried the pier blocks. You dug a hole. You flushed them up. You tamped down the soil or something.
Yeah. Big time.
Big time tamp it.
Big time
wet
tamp because don't
it
want
and tamp
to,
it?
Yeah. Wet it a little bit. Throw some dry ground. Then, you tamp know, 20-pound sledge. Bam, bam, bam. Because you're only dealing with a 10x10.
Right.
You know
not
what
a
I mean?
Big footprint.
Right.
Right. So a lot of weight on there. So wet it, tamp it, get it hard, put the thing on there, backfill it,
tamp that.
And then when you put your posts on it, you go with like a carriage bolt or whatever bolt, but a through bolt.
Through bolt.
Yeah.
Through bolt, bunch of screws.
Through bolt's always better. All right.
It's just, and then when you sit on this thing, it just feels so solid and so nice. It's pretty good.
How
I'm happy.
You must have
reinforced the pallet?
No. You must have tried to get these things level, all four corners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You have to.
Are you using
straight edge 8-foot level?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then just square it up, you know, do the diagonal, do the 3, 4, 5, gotta be square. And well, then the thing about setting the post on it now, let's say they do settle or whatever, under the post you can always kick it up, you can shim it up, and then drill your hole.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? You put shims under the bottom of the post and before the it hits the either treated or redwood.
And then you paint the hell out of the bottom cut off that end cut. You paint it like four or five times because
prime
I don't
it real well.
Yeah.
Yeah, let it absorb all the primer.
Absolutely.
Josh wants to talk to me about heat pumps. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Ray.
What's going on?
I work in the pool industry. All we do is pool equipment. I actually work in your area as well. There's things called heat pumps. It's basically like a huge AC compressor. Mm-hmm. And typically they're used back east when your electricity is cheap. They're going to use that to heat their pools. Because it's cheaper than gas or propane. But they also make them that are in cooling versions to where it reverses the pump action and will actually get down to 45 degrees. So if you ever wanted to do your cold therapy during the summer, there is an option for you.
Yeah, I don't think, thank you, but I think the kids the kids would go bananas with that. Those kids are such pusses. It's 80 degrees and like it's cold. Like it's got to get
with
up to
pool?
80. Yeah, it's got to get to 85.
You could heat the pool and then cool down the spa so you could do your little therapy.
Oh, the spa. Yeah. Well, all right. So tell me about a heat pump and how that works.
It's just exactly like an AC unit. I mean, it just uses Freon. Just like you're cooling your house, you have water going through the condenser and cooling down. And then, you know, main reason for heating, it just reverses the compressor and then it'll do heat. So it'll do heating or cooling.
How big are they?
They're big. They're like the size of a large AC unit. I'd probably say the biggest one is going to be probably 3-4 feet by 3 feet, maybe 3 feet tall.
It's not that big. But so let me try to figure this out. I have a heater, gas-fired heater. It works fairly well if you put the cover on. I don't have a cooler. I have a heater.
Yeah.
Now, you take your heat pump and put it in conjunction, just talking about heating, just heating right now. You put it in conjunction with my gas-fired pool heater, and the pool will heat up what percentage faster?
No, it's slower. Wow. Gas is definitely the fastest, but the
I'm saying in conjunction, though. Can you do it in conjunction with it?
Can you do both?
You could. It's not really worth it. The only reason you would go to a heat pump, like on your envelope house, if you're going to have all your solar panels, then, yeah, you would use the heat pump. Essentially, a heat pump in California, it's not feasible, but if you're paying less than 29 cents a kilowatt, then it's cheaper to run the heat pump versus gas.
But yes, the heat pump is the only thing that would cool a pool.
Yeah, that's the only
one. Mama didn't raise no fool.
So you could do both. There's a way to plumb it to where we could, you know, do one or the other. I mean, it just kind of depends what you've got going on.
I appreciate it, Josh. I'm not that hardcore. My thing now is I just take a cold shower in the morning, and that's fine during the winter, during the summer months.
Those units are about $5,000 just for the unit itself, so I'm sure. Unless you're really committed, but if you're going to do something with the envelope house, it's kind of something to consider depending on how you're doing your power and supply.
Yeah,
if you're going to do a lot
appreciate
of solar.
Josh.
So the unit costs $5,000, but how much does all the plumbing cost to like get it going?
Oh, depending, I wouldn't say more than $1,000, $2,000, but also too, you need a 50-amp dedicated circuit just for that unit.
Yeah.
And probably what they ran to your panel, if you just got one pump, you've probably got a 30-amp. Maybe 50-amp panel at your pool equipment.
Yeah,
and do you have to use that special copper?
What's that?
You have to use that special copper? Like that rolled copper that's
PVC.
Super...
Everything's PVC.
Okay.
The heat exchanger and the heat pump on this unit is actually titanium.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh. You know hot mopper?
You're welcome.
You do any hot mopping? No. All right.
Just pools.
Thank
just swimming
you.
Pools.
Ah, it's a first world problem.
Hey, and by the way, why do you think the Red Guard's no good?
I just heard it wasn't fantastic, or maybe there's better stuff than that. But
like,
it's still
in its time, it was great. But you're right because you had to do like 4 or 5 coats,
and it's still I didn't know things like the pitch on the answer, the real answer for the why do you do the pitch and then the membrane and then the second float. I didn't even know about two floats. I thought there was just one float. But and well, I the think first, they used
the first
to do
one,
just
Adam,
one
you
float.
Can, no, the first one you can build everything up with paper or shingles. They used to do that
right.
a lot. So you build up the edges with shingle and then the pitch.
The answer is... Is this correct? The answer is it's a steeper pitch, and you don't want to notice the pitch when you're standing in the shower.
Correct.
So the top pitch, which it permeates, is not as steep.
Right.
But it still has some pitch. Is
yeah,
that correct?
Because it has to run to the drain, obviously.
It has to run to the
yeah.
drain. Okay. All right, Matt.
But even if it's flat, Adam, you know, usually it's going to run to the drain. Water's not going to really stand on it.
Right. You got a question there, Matt?
Yes, we do. We got a great video question, and of course, we encourage you to send us your video questions, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com to see them. Here is a video from Nick.
Ace, Ray, or Stromer and Ray, my name is Nick. I'm a 32-year-old homeowner from San Luis Obispo. I had replaced a dilapidated solar panel base with this, and I pretty much followed the existing template that they have because this is the first time I've done something like this. Anyways, they had a bunch of this 1x board on top of these 2x4s before, but I've done some research, of course, after I bought the board, and I kind of think corrugated fiberglass would be a better option, but I have a bunch of these boards left over. So I was thinking about doing a privacy screen for that tank right there. So two questions. Do you think corrugated fiberglass or something else would be better to support these solar panels? And do you think I can make some type of privacy screen with about 35, 36 of these boards for that water tank? Thanks, guys.
By the way, I love the look of that water tank. I would not want to cover it.
Yeah.
I think it looks cool.
Or paint something on it like a, you know, orca
stencil
whale.
Stencil or, yeah.
All right. So he's showing us this big, long grid.
How long was that thing? About looked like about 40 feet?
Maybe longer. On the ground, tilted a little angle, right?
Yeah.
For the solar panels. Now, it's got like treated 4x and then 2x4 going across the top of it, and it's about 8 foot wide. And he's going to put the solar panels on top of that. But I'm not sure why he needs to put the corrugated.
I think so they can sit on top, because the solar panels you saw in the corner look smaller than what the grid is. So I think the solar panels have to sit on top of it.
But there's no structural quality to those
corrugated, but I think how heavy are the solar panels? That's
no
what's in question.
Wait a second. Hold
go
on.
Go look at the picture,
Gary. You got to show me. First off, every solar panel I've seen has been at least, you know, like 3-4 foot wide and 6-7 feet long.
And don't they have
long.
Brackets too that,
yeah,
that are
have,
on them?
They have all kinds of brackets, but he wants to put his solar panels in between those, Ray. On
That's what I'm assuming, but then the way he described it, it's like it needs to sit on some kind of other structure. Because why the corrugated and why the 1x, that's no good anymore.
Well, the 1x...
So, like, go back, keep going, Gary, because at the end you can see the solar panels. At the very end when he pans.
When he does his full that girl move.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll see him sitting there. They're out there. Are they out on the grass there? Is that a shadow?
I think that they were up here there. They're sitting right there. See that?
Yeah, I saw it. But
yeah.
What – I don't – all right. I'm still confused, Ray. He wants to put he wants to put the solar panels on top – he can't want to put it on top of fiberglass corrugated sheathing.
He can or can't?
He can't want to do that. Why would he – it wouldn't
I know,
work.
But that's what – I guess – that's what he was saying.
I thought that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
he was
not
saying.
Not sense,
but
as a know, stupid but, person who's just listening to that guy talk, that's what I thought I heard.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense.
So he has the pitch there for optimal sun. So I guess he's going to lay all the solar panels out on. I don't even understand why not put
right.
those closer together and then just set them on top.
I agree. But so here's the deal. Take the 1x, lay it across as needed, like a ladder, and set it on that. Or,
yeah, those are your ribs, right?
Or use two more treated 2x4 and make train tracks down the middle of the thing and mount the thing to it. But as far as the corrugated stuff goes, don't lay the corrugated, not if there's any kind of structural thing. If you're looking for, like, water runoff or something like that, you know,
then
so
I
be
get it.
It
yeah.
Right. But not structurally. And as far as wrapping the tank, I feel like the corrugated stuff's going to look a lot worse than the tank. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't like that. We like the tank. Live with the tank.
Yeah, I like the tank.
Mark is from Louisiana.
I mean, if you got a water tank like that, that show that off.
It's cool for us, yeah. Mark, 40, Louisiana.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Adam, I want to build a cabinet that's partly a downdraft table for sanding, also something I can put some motorized tools on, like little saws and stuff that's going to catch the dust. But I don't want to hear the noise of the vacuum cleaner inside of it while I'm working.
I like that.
What's the best way to make that sucker soundproof?
Quiet rock. Yeah.
Your new thing.
I just scored some quiet rock. Yeah,
I heard you got double the amount.
If you could see that, Matt, you'd never stop laughing.
By the way, I did see it, and I already knew what Adam was going to say, and I was just smiling ear to ear grin when I was looking at it.
It's two wafer thin pieces of something that could never be mistaken for 5/8 drywall, ever. Ever.
Hey, boss, we got over. Yeah, we sure did.
All right. So, Mark, you want to build this box. I'm telling you, I think you could skin the inside of it with this 5/8 quiet rock drywall, and that would and tape the seams and all that, and that would the corners for sure. You won't have seams, but you'll have corners, and that would be huge.
And then and just
you think
make
that would be a 30 decibel reduction on the noise?
There is a number to
There's
that stuff, and I'm not sure what that number is, but I would say make your box, you know, like out of 2x4 or whatever. You're going to drop what, like your shop vac or whatever into it?
It's compressor.
And then I would skin the inside of it or the outside of it. Maybe the outside of it. Look better. I'd do the inside of it with the quiet rock, and I'd do the outside of it with some kind of finished ply something. Give it a look.
And then even have a door to it, some access to it, like on a piano hinge or something.
You're
going to need to get in there eventually.
Well, I think he'll get in through the top, maybe.
That's
You'll bingo. And you can put some R13 insulation in the bays if you want. I think I would just treat it like a wall. And look, if you want to go hardcore, you go 2x6, but that's too big. Just go 2x4, frame it out, frame the box out like you're framing a wall out. Go with the quiet rock on the inside, go with the R13 bats of insulation, and then go with some kind of siding.
Or even do that dense insulation, Adam, the one I was talking about.
The foam stuff?
Yeah, foam, but they also have the one that's natural. It's organic, and it looks green. It's like really dense.
But what form does it come in?
It comes in like 2x4 sheets.
You cut it with a utility knife?
I believe so. No, you have to get it like a saw. You have to cut it with like a saw, like a handsaw, because it's thick.
Is it like it's foamy?
It's not foamy. It's dense. It's like a rock wool, but a dense rock wool.
And you just cut it, and it's 3.5 inches or whatever. And you just push it in there.
Yeah.
All right. We can look into that. But if that's a little exotic, I'll accept R13. It says 8 times more effective than standard drywall.
Wow.
The quiet rock.
Mark,
does it give a decibel rating on it? What does
no.
it say? It doesn't? Okay.
Gary can't find it, but it's something. I don't know all the units of measurement. They don't go by decibels. They go by something else in that particular case. Mark, questions?
No, man. I just got to look for quiet rock, I guess. Give it a try.
You can also make it yourself. You take 2 pieces of quarter or 3/8 and 1/4 and glue them together.
Yeah.
Well, I recall when you guys were talking about building your studio, you put like sand in between the air spaces, and I was wondering if maybe that would be effective enough.
No,
sounds like a lot of work.
What I did is just made 2 walls, an inner wall and an outer wall, and made a wide wall on the studio. But I didn't even know about quiet rock back then. And I had a ton of sheetrock that some guy screwed me on a deal, and he just left me with tons of metal studs and 5/8 sheetrock. So I just burned it all up. Yeah.
Now, did you set all your studs sideways? So
no.
Is that air gap?
No, I set them all the regular direction, and I build an inner wall and an outer wall.
All right.
And there's a space in between them, but they're not pushed up against each other. I don't think. I mean, you can measure that door width. I don't know. I had to buy a special jam. They have special metal jams that aren't, you know, like, because you go, okay, they have a jam for a 2x4 wall, and then they have a jam for probably 2x6 wall. But what about a wall that's 9.5 inches wide? They just have a collapsible one.
Wow.
You don't think about it, but it makes sense, right? Because who the hell knows? What size,
you
what drywall
know.
Thickness,
well,
what, whatever.
Well, they have jams like for concrete block and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so. This was that. So I had to buy a special metal, like, timely door jam, and it was pretty much accordion-y right to left. And I think it went, like, if you pushed it all together, it'd be 6 inches, and you pulled it apart, it'd be 10 or something like that. And
I like
you just
that.
Put it across the door and sandwich
close
it in.
Up, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I thought it was it's one of these things where most everything exists. You just got to go look for it.
You got to find it.
Everything exists except for a fart fan with a remote control.
Well, actually, Matt found one now. They came out with them.
No, but we did. I gotta say, there is a sort of there's a simplistic genius that we should all hope to one day possess, which is I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked and Matt looked and we couldn't. I said, God, there's got to be one of those bathroom vent fans where you could walk in and hit the remote on it. Like there's a ceiling fan all have remotes on them now. Like just you could hit the heater, you could hit the light, you could hit the.
The bidet, you can hit everything with it except the fan.
No, right.
You can hit everything.
No, you don't know what I'm talking about. No, you can't hit everything. No, what I'm saying is the things have heaters in them now. As a matter of fact, Matt.
Uh-oh.
How does, I don't even know, I just got one, but they have a fan, and they have a heater, and they have like a nightlight. Is all that in a switch in the wall?
I believe so, because there's like those little toggles for each one of them.
Right. So there is no.
But they come in like a Decora, and there's a 1, 2,
like
and a 3.
But like if you're sitting on the pot, if you're sitting on the commode, wouldn't you like a remote to go, oh boy, this is not going well, and hit the turbo on the thing? Like you got to stand up and with your pants down and lean across the room and hit the right switch. You know what I mean?
I mean, remote would be, yeah.
It's weird that there's a remote for everything, but not that thing. It doesn't exist, and you start thinking, is there a liability? But no, it's not really a liability, leaving a fart fan on overnight or whatever, but I needed
mine's
one.
On 24/7, man.
Yeah, I know.
I think you got to get a hold of Lutron and start pitching stuff.
Lutron, come over here. I figured out, well, there is a way to put everything on a remote. Just get one of those $15 remote receptacle plugs. Plug it in. I just hadn't put a plug in the attic, and I put this thing in, and it comes with a little keychain remote. And you just control the remote. You control the plug, not the fan.
Yeah.
And it works.
Whatever's plugged in there.
Took a little double stick, stuck it on the bottom side of my upper cabinet, and Olga just, when she's making the bacon, just punches the thing once. Works like a charm. All right. Yeah, you know, cause you guys have no idea. Like those whole house fans, they're awesome. But if you fire up that whole house fan in the hallway and you're in the kitchen making bacon, after about a year, go look at that thing. It's covered in grease.
Yeah.
It carries. It travels, and it goes right on up in there. All right.
I'm sorry. One second. How do you clean that kind of thing? Do you have to take it down or you just wipe it?
For me.
Who does it for you?
Well, the whole house fan, I told Olga to do that. The fan that I built for the above the stove, the burners, I actually had one of those weird metal mesh filter things.
Yeah.
I, for some reason, had one laying around. I don't know why. I've just built this thing to that size and put it up.
So that's all you have to do is clean that. It never really gets the fan.
It'll pop out, and you'll clean that. All right. And let's clean out that underpants drawer while we're at it, huh? Tommy John, man. Oh, it's getting hot out there, man. Man, is it hot out there. Woo! It is hot, man. Swampy conditions down in the nether regions, man. We don't need that. Old school cotton boxers that can't handle the extra sweat. Not this time of year. Put the kibosh on the swamp butt. Let's go with Tommy John. Moisture wicking fabrics. Pull perspiration right off your body and dry 4 to 5 times faster. Patented fabric technology It's impossible to get a wedgie with these things. Even Ray in junior high could not give you a wedgie if you were wearing Tommy John's. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed, man. Stay cool all summer long with Tommy John. No adjustment necessary, just the best. It is Tommy John. Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and use code Adam to save 20% on your first order. That's code Adam at TommyJohn.com for 20% off. TommyJohn.com.
So, Ray, you built the pallet swing.
I did.
How many pallets did you use?
Well, the one, the base one, which is the seat, you can get pallets in two different sizes. So this was, they were oversized.
Mm-hmm.
So the back and the base are two oversized pallets, which means it's two in one.
Is,
It's 8 feet.
8 feet across.
Yeah, 4 feet across. 8 by 4.
Uh-huh.
So what, it's like a full sheet.
And you got the 4 by 4s and the 4 by 6 and the chain.
Yeah, and then and I the, ran ribs. I ran extra ribs.
2 by 4s.
2 by 4s, right. And then to get the 22, I just ran a 2 by 4 at 20, you know, and got my angle on it.
Well, to get the 22, what's the 22?
The bevel on the back.
Oh, the back leans back 22 degrees.
Right.
Right.
So to put that in, doubled that up also, and then put some extra ribs on there. Check it out. Looks pretty good.
Yeah. Who'd you build it for?
Parting gift for Stephanie.
Huh.
Yeah, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Parting gift. Where, is she going somewhere?
No, I am.
Oh, you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I got a new place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In this country?
Huh?
Is it here?
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
You didn't know I'm actually moving in here. You didn't know?
I didn't know that. All right. I did not know that.
Now you know.
All right. Hey, Matt, now we got to see what does the switch look like on one of those fart fans that has the light and the heater and the fan in it. Is it a wall switch that just has the three different little mini toggles?
In a Decora setting.
Okay. The core is that type at the big opening.
Right, with the rectangular opening.
Yeah, the big rectangular one. All right, questions?
Got
you got emails? What do you got, Fondelier?
Yeah, we got an email question. This guy's name is Ben. Get it on. Love you guys. 34 Michigan, double homeowner.
Wow, winner, winner.
I'm looking for suggestions of what to do with my stoop porch. The previous owners put down these tiles over the slab, which have already started to pop off from just two winters. They're also as slippery as Astroglide if there's any moisture at all on the surface. I'm going to rip these off and scrape or grind it back down to the concrete. The porch is a 3 to 4 inch thick concrete slab over a full basement concrete block foundation with a full brick veneer on the show faces. I want to replace the tile with some sort of natural stone or brick type material that will go well with the house brick. What kind of material should I be looking at that will have good traction, are durable in ice and snow, and will look good with a reddish brick? Any mortars or grouts I should be using for durability? As you can see, the brick mortar is also fucked up. What should I do to fix that? Thanks.
Wow. All right. So he's got a big cement patio, and he's got the tile on. Is that ceramic? Porcelain? What's that?
It looks ceramic, yeah. Porcelain. Chip that off, dude. You ain't going to grind that off. You're out of your mind.
No, I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying he was going to pop it off and then grind it down underneath it.
Okay.
Yes.
But,
so,
I mean, you don't grind what?
No, why? I mean, I think he said he's going to pop off the tile and then he's going to, like, grind the thin set or whatever's down. There, right?
Yeah, he said he wants to get it back down to the concrete.
All right. So now, what are we putting on there?
Well, we can't see the color of the house because I would like to see.
Well, he said brick veneer.
So I would go with like a brown tile. I would go with like a full body, you know, pretty resilient tile outdoor, and then I'd seal it with
What kind of full body porcelain?
Full body anything, ceramic, whatever it is, because I wouldn't have it with any kind of like top coat on it because it might wear out.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I would go.
I'm not really paid attention to outdoor tile. I know what pavers are, and I know what, you know, the Spanish pavers and stuff like that, but they have outdoor
Yeah, there's different ratings. There's different ratings of tile as far as hardness and everything. But when it comes to outdoor, you want like a non-slip, like he's saying.
Right.
So they're rated for non-slip also.
All right. So you get an outdoor, you get a full body, you get rated for non-slip.
Right.
You put it.
But if it isn't non-slip, Ace, you can, with the sealer or whatever you put on top of it, you can throw some silica in there.
Some sand in there.
Yeah.
So I'll go with the outdoor rating. I look for the non-slip rating and then look for, and then we're putting it down with thin set.
Sure. And it's more of an aesthetic because if it's, you know, if this is, you know, red, if he's got red or brown, I'd go with a brown color.
You can get whatever.
Whatever you want.
Whatever color you want. You could even get like a wood deck grain, right?
Sure.
I might go with a wood grain. They have lots of cool tiles now that have like wood grain and stuff in them.
There's a bevy to choose
from. There's a bevy. So do that, and then regular thin set.
Yeah.
And then...
But get the one with the high acrylic quantity.
What kind of grout?
There's sanded. Sanded whatever color. I wouldn't do epoxy. I wouldn't do any of that.
Right.
Just get regular cementitious. What's the word again? We say it wrong.
Cementitious
grout, yeah.
Yeah.
So do that, and you're fine.
All right.
And then as far as the brick... going down for the rise. I don't know what the hell that is. Just mimic what you're doing. Or you know what, Adam? Get stair nosing tile. There's a lot of different, you know.
Get the tile that has the bull nose at the end of
right.
it for the edge of the stair.
And they're four stair, and then get the field and whatever you want to get.
I'm with you.
Got it.
And get some LifeLock, man. You ever get the scary flashing pop-up virus alert? It's probably a tech support scammer trying to get you to call in to their toll-free number and trick you into giving them remote access to your computer. Let's not do that. Let's get LifeLock, identity theft. It's America's fastest-growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. Lynette has it. The kids have it. Everybody at the Corolla House has LifeLock. It scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect your info, they send you an alert if you have a problem. Their U.S.-based agents will work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. Why not go with the industry standard? Why not go with the most experienced? Why not go with LifeLock? Membership starts at just $9.99 a month. Just $9.99 a month for LifeLock. Matt.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right.
And there's different ones also.
Yeah.
There are a few. A lot of them look like this, which is why I chose this.
There's some that have little lights in it, too,
We're looking at a picture of the decor style with the three switches, although for some reason it says four function, but I'm not. There must be a middle.
I think that's the name of the other product, Whisper Control 4, and then it's Dash Function.
I don't like the Whisper Control. I like something in there running a little interference for the butt trumpet. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with
a little noise coming out of that.
Do I know what you're saying? I lived with Matt for 10 years.
You got it. I don't like going in there and
saying it's like, ah! You like that?
I like it. There's a balance, and the balance ain't. Hush.
You know
the notion is we got to get this as quiet as we possibly can. And it's like this room is covered in porcelain and glass, and it is an echo chamber. You know, you could take a dump in a closet with, you know, with winter coats hanging and carpet on the floor and nobody would hear you. It's like space.
But you came up with a great idea just now. This is amazing.
I was going to tell a joke, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Because that's amazing. You could have a variable speed noise thing. Like, okay, you're at home. It can be quiet. You got company over, whatever.
Buzz it up.
That's amazing.
Well, I
would
just turn it up like on days on, you know, party night. I just crank it up to 11.
There you go.
And let them do it. In space, they can't hear you shit. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
In space.
Yeah, because the Whisper Quiet, that is not a it's not a selling point for me. I have the fans here extra loud, and that's the way we like it. All right, let's see. Concerned about diminished finish on wood floors. Diminished finish. What's going on, Michael? 38.
Oh, Adam, no, you didn't.
Jesus.
What's going on from Wichita?
What's up, baby? I love you.
Love you, man. What's happening?
All right, so my house is only like 12 years old, but it's the finish is it's not that new shine anymore.
Yeah. What kind of wood floors do you have?
Brown.
All right. it's no big deal to put a couple of coats of urethane over the whole thing if you want.
So is that expected to do that every time?
No, but I mean, it's been 12 years, I could see, depending
on maintenance.
Whatever you're doing. I'll tell you what I would do. Let's see.
I do a test.
I would take one of those orbital floor buffer type, you know, the things that the thing you see the guy working on the tile, the entry. The polisher. I'd put probably put the 3M scuff pad on there, and I'd probably take a, you know, mild, right. And I'd take a lap around the whole place.
Yeah, the white one. You want to use the 3M white scuff pad like you're talking.
Let's not bring race into this. I'm just saying a light scuff all the way around. Then I'd take one of those foam sanding blocks, and again, light scuff. Oh, no, sorry. I'd take the same white scotch pad, and I just hit the perimeter. Go around the perimeter where the thing couldn't get. Then I'd give the thing a good wipe down with like a tack cloth or something, just make sure it was super clean. Vacuum, tack cloth, whatever. And then I'd get a couple, get that gym floor stuff, you know, the Varathane gym floor or whatever it is, and put roll a couple of coats on.
Don't even roll it. Get the pad, the wool pad.
Oh, the wool pad,
where you can push it in and work it that way.
Yeah, that's right.
But before you do any of that, Michael, do a test spot somewhere, like in a closet where you are now or whatever you need to do. Do a test spot that's not visible.
There you go.
Try that first.
And last but not least, try Simply Safe, man. Nothing's more important than the safety of the ones you love. I got twins and I got cars. I got to protect them both. That's why I got Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Each system is a security arsenal engineered to protect each access point of your home. Set it up yourself. Do it under an hour. Save hundreds of dollars on installation fees. They got 24/7 monitoring. It's just $14.99 a month. No hidden fees. No long-term lock-in contracts. The guy's a genius. I think he went to Harvard, engineer. Some of his friends got ripped off. He started looking into securities places, realized there were bigger ripoffs than the thieves. So he invented his own. They called it Simply Safe. SimpliSafe.com. They got a deal going on now. I guess it's our after Father's Day deal, which is SimpliSafe.com/dad. Order now. Get the extra 10% off and the free keychain remote and free shipping at SimpliSafe.com/dad. All right. Let's see. No safe spaces. Me and Dennis Prager. Go
can
check
I say one thing, please, before that? Sorry.
All right. Well, you should just let me finish the thing, and then you should
I know, but
say
that's it. A wrap. And then, but I wanted to compliment you on your children that I hung out with the other day. I am so fascinated with Sonny's wealth of knowledge with the NBA.
Yes.
Insane.
He rolls deep, man.
I was so flabbergasted. I mean, he's talking about guys 20 years ago because he's on the YouTube and he's familiar with them and can call stats out. I was enthralled with him.
I don't think he's school smart, but he's not school. He's not smart because he's not interested. Like the one thing you are, if somebody says, "Look, we got to memorize all the capitals of all the cities," like if you're like Sonny, you're immediately not interested. That's
okay,
his thing.
Okay, you got to name every NBA team and the starters from 1986. He's got it.
No, because he's interested. That's how it works. Yeah, he's a smart smart little guy, but it's only if he's interested. Just like most people, the real key to life is how can you be good at things that don't interest you? Because there's going to be a lot of that in your life. Lots of jobs, lots of homework, lots of classes, lots of whatever. How can you maintain that same level of excellence on stuff you're not interested in?
It's a big deal.
Try making a documentary. 92% of it is completely uninteresting. So everyone goes, I want to make a documentary. And then they don't, because it's like, all right, we interviewed this old guy for 3 hours. Just transcribe it. And they go, I don't want to do that. And you go, all right, well, then you don't want to
make
documentaries then. That's the barrier. That's the barrier to entry on everybody. You know, when fakakta idiots come to me and go, hey, I want to come hang out, make films. I go, okay, go transcribe this.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I don't want to do that. Okay. Well, what is it that you do want to do? And you can't do that yet, so what do we need you for? All right. No Safe Spaces. You can check that out. Speaking of films, nosafespaces.com. And you can go check out the live show. Vegas coming up, Caesar's Palace. That is Thursday, July 13th. We're bringing the show to Caesar's. It'll be awesome. Go to adamcarolla.com. Look for everything. Go aceontheroof.com and click the PayPal button. Subscribe and, you know, bookmark us if you're going through
and
Amazon.
Hang out with me tonight in Seattle.
Oh, hang out with Ray tonight in Seattle. Yeah, the crawl is booked up, but the after party, there's still some tickets too. And you can go to Corolla Drinks and check that out. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Ray Oldhoffer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.